You got all kinds of things going on here, and we are going to. I want to read a couple of verses in John chapter 9, but actually our message is going to come out of John chapter 10. John chapter 9, verse 18, reminds you of a couple of things here. We talked about the last few weeks. Verse 18 of John chapter 9 says, "But the Jews did not believe concerning him that he had been blind, received his sight, until they called the parents of him that had received his sight." Last week we talked about the blind man who had been born blind, and you have the Pharisees and the Jewish leaders, and they're having a hard time with all this because, first of all, they're mad at Jesus for healing on the Sabbath day. Then they turn right around and say, "Well, we don't believe he was ever blind in the first place." So how can you get mad at somebody for not doing anything on the Sabbath day, for doing something on the Sabbath day? If he was blind, well, then he healed him. If he wasn't blind, well, then he didn't heal him. If he didn't heal him, then he didn't do anything on the Sabbath day. So they're talking out both sides of their mouth. Let's go to verse number 24 now, chapter 9, verse 24. It says, "Then again called they the man that was blind and said unto him, Give God the praise. We know that this man is a sinner." Now, why do they know this man's a sinner? Because he healed on the Sabbath day. But he just got finished saying they didn't believe that he healed anybody on the Sabbath day. Okay, but they know he's a sinner. So they're against Jesus. Whatever it is, I'm against it. That's kind of the way it is. Whatever it is, I'm against it. Verse 25. "He answered and said, Whether he be a sinner," this is the blind man's talking, "whether he be a sinner or no, I know not. One thing I know, that whereas I was blind, now I see. Then say they to him again, What did he do to thee? How opened he thine eyes?" So now they think, well, okay, he opened his eyes. What did he do? Verse 27. "He answered them, I have told you already, and ye did not hear." Key line. Ye did not hear. They could see they were not listening to the facts. They were trying to find the fault. They weren't trying to find the facts. "You did not hear. Wherefore would ye hear it again? Will ye also be his disciple?" If you decided to change your mind, you want to be his disciple. He knew very well that's not what they were there for. Verse 28. "Then they reviled him." The religious leaders reviled the blind man and said, "Thou art his disciple, but we are Moses' disciples. We know that God spake unto Moses. As for this fellow, we know not from whence he is." The man answered and said unto them, "Why, herein is a marvelous thing that ye know not from whence he is, and yet he hath opened mine eyes. Now we know that God heareth not sinners, but if any man be a worshiper of God and doeth his will, him he heareth. And since the world began, was it not heard that any man opened the eyes of one that was born blind? And if this man were not of God, he could do nothing." They answered and said unto him, "Thou wast altogether born in sins." Why do they think he was born in sin? Because he's blind. Same thing that the issue was with the disciples. They said, well, was it his sin or his parents' sin? Why was this man born blind? So they think, well, because he's got this problem, obviously it was him some kind of sin. And he said, and dost thou teach us? And they cast him out. So the Jewish leaders cast the blind man out of the synagogue. It's like grabbing somebody by the seat of the pants and the shirt collar and throwing him out the front door of the church. Jesus heard, verse 35, they had cast him out, and when he had found him, he said unto him, "Dost thou believe on the Son of God?" He answered and said, "Who is he, Lord, that I might believe on him?" And Jesus said unto him, "Thou hast both seen him, and is he that talketh with thee." And he said, "Lord, I believe," and he worshipped him. And Jesus said, "For judgment I have come into this world, that they which see not might see, and that they which see might be made blind." What's he saying there? People need to realize whether you really see truth or whether you don't. Have you ever talked to someone, it's like they think they've got it all figured out, and you're thinking, they don't have any idea what they're talking about. It's going right over their head. They think they see, but really they're blind. And then there's some people who, you know, say, well, I don't know, I don't understand all this. But the fact is, they really do see the truth. It's interesting how our perspective on this. Verse 40. And some of the Pharisees which were with him heard these words and said unto him, "Are we blind also?" They knew the implication. And Jesus said unto them, "If you were blind, you should have no sin. But now you say, we see. therefore your sin remaineth. Verily I say unto you, now see, there's no chapter or verse in the original, so it goes right on into, right straight into this. Verily, verily, or truly, truly, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. Now you think he's changing subjects here, but he's not. He is changing the direction of his conversation. He'd been talking to a lot of the people, and he was talking to the Jewish leaders. Now he's going to go directly to the Jewish leaders, and he's going to instruct them with some things. He is going to rebuke them, but he's trying to help them understand some things here. And so he's trying to do it in a nice way where they can see themselves in the story. So he says, you all think you're blind. You think you can see, but you're blind. You think the blind man's blind, but actually the blind man can see. So he says, verse 1, so truly, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. This parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things they were which he spake unto them. In other words, they were blind. They couldn't understand. Then said Jesus unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. Let's have a word of prayer, and we're going to talk about hearing the shepherd's voice. I'm going to talk fast. You listen fast. Father, we thank you for your blessings here tonight, and may we understand your word. We ask for your Holy Spirit that we may see. Lord, you said, if you had those who have ears to hear, let them hear. And Lord, we want to make sure that we're hearing. We want our eyes open. We want you to help our sight, that we may see truth tonight. So use this time. We need you, Lord. And may your Holy Spirit give each of us exactly what we individually need, that we may hear your voice. In Christ's name, amen. John 10 is a continuation of the interchange and discussion from chapters 7, 8, and 9. That's been going on between the general population, the Pharisees, and Jesus. Now, in our passages there, the Jews have been seeking to kill Jesus. They had decided already to reject Jesus and cast out anyone that did not reject Jesus as well. We saw that in John 9:22. It said right there, we read it last week, these words spake his parents because they feared the Jews. For the Jews had agreed already that if any man did confess that he was Christ, he should be put out of the synagogue. So they've already decided. It makes it look like they're trying to give a question and answer and figure things out. They have already decided we are going to reject Jesus Christ. Now they deny their intentions when they're confronted directly, but they're determined to be rid of Jesus nonetheless. The general population now is conflicted over the identity of Jesus. There's much confusion, mostly because of the ignorance of the Word of God. I tell you what, there's so much of that these days. We want to fight over things and this and that and other thing. We just don't know the Word of God. Jesus said so often, thou hast erred not knowing the Word of God. He says, hath thou not read? That's our problem. Know the Word of God. There are a lot of people who live in fear because they don't know the Word of God and the promises that are there. And so we got to know the Word of God. Now, Jesus seems so innocent and loving, and yet the Jewish leadership sees him as a great threat. Jesus forgives the woman caught in adultery and yet firmly warns her to stay away from sin. Jesus heals the man born blind, and yet he does so on the Sabbath, which raises the question of sin in his life according to the code of the Jewish leaders. So once again, the people are torn between following the Jewish leadership, which seemed to be leading the wrong way, and the life of Jesus, which seems to be expressing God and who he is, his character, to the people. So the Jewish leadership seemed to be unable to understand who Jesus is, no matter how much evidence was presented. Now, Jesus has been presenting himself to the general population, including the Jewish leadership, and the Jewish leadership is trying to maintain, watch me, the Jewish leadership is trying to maintain control of the people. The sheep, if you will. Jesus is going to now direct his attention to the Jewish leadership specifically and explain why they're having a difficulty understanding who he is. So he's directing his attention to the Jewish leadership. He's instructing. A little bit of rebuke, but he is instructing. Now, before we get into the first part of this, I want you to understand a particular part of the culture at the time. Now, these Jews have been shepherds for centuries and centuries, thousands of years. And, you know, we talk about how they take care of the sheep and so forth. There is a normal process in the daily routine of many of the sheep herders. Now, what would happen would be they'd be out in the fields, keeping their watch by night. No, out in the field with their sheep. They would bring them in at the end of the day, and there would be a sheep fold. Now, this is interesting. The sheep would, now they didn't, what do you do to cows? Brand them. Yeah, they don't brand sheep, all right? And they didn't have them all clipped, you know, and all this kind of stuff. The thing was, the sheep know their shepherd's voice. Now, sheep are dumb, which is kind of why the Lord uses us as a comparison. But anyway, I think sometimes the sheep come out better than we do. Sheep are dumb, but one thing they do know is that they know their master's voice. Okay? Now, here's the strange thing. They would bring all these different flocks of sheep, and at nighttime, they would put them in a big corral, all mixed up. And so you've got this fenced-in area, blocked-in area, walled-in area, and it's almost like putting them into a parking garage. And so you put all these sheep in this parking garage. And then you've got the guys, the porters, who take care of the opening, the door, to the sheepfold. And so these guys would literally sleep there at the door so nobody could come into the sheep and none of the sheep would get out. And so these guys would watch the sheep. They're the security guard, if you will, and they watch the sheep all night while the shepherds go get some rest. Now the next morning, it sounds crazy, but the next morning, the guy doesn't have to bring his coat check paper or anything. He shows up. The guy at the door, the porter, knows who the real shepherds are. And so the shepherd goes to the door, and he calls his sheep. In fact, often they would call them by name. He calls their sheep, and the sheep know his voice. You know, it's kind of funny, you know, moms, you kind of do the same thing. You're in the grocery store and some kid says, "Mommy," and you know which one it was. Well, that was not mine. I've heard young mothers standing over here talking and hear somebody cry, some baby across the hall cry. That's not mine. No, that's yours. I can tell that's yours. They can tell whose cry it is. Okay, the sheep are like, they know who the shepherd is. And so they hear the voice. And so the shepherd calls his sheep, and his sheep come. The rest of them don't. The next guy comes up, and he calls for his sheep. They come. The other ones don't. It's kind of strange, but just the way it worked. It's just the way the animals work. And so that's the way it was. Now, if somebody shows up at night over the night, and they're climbing over the wall, or they're climbing over the fence to get into the sheepfold, who is that? That's not the shepherd. That's a thief. That's a robber. That's somebody trying to steal somebody's sheep. Now, the shepherd doesn't have to come over the wall, doesn't have to sneak in. He can walk right up to the door, and the porter's going to say, "Go ahead, get your sheep." It's all above board. He has the authority. So this process was commonly known at the time. The Pharisees would have known that. Now, I want you to see with that in mind, look at number one on our paper. Let me give you first of all, a couple of things underneath number one. God's way is the only way. Just hang tight with me. God's way is the only way. Letter A, false shepherds do not follow the ways of that the true shepherd of God it does, and but they seek their own ways. False shepherds do not follow the ways the true shepherd of God and seek their own ways. John chapter 10, verse number 1. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. Now he gets right to the point. He's talking to the Pharisees, and the Pharisees are talking. By the way, the Pharisees have been trying to get the ear of the people, but they just really can't get it. And it's just not working. And he's going to explain to them what's going on here. And he said, subtly he's saying, guys, you're going about this the wrong way. If you were really true shepherds, you wouldn't have to go through all this finagling here. You wouldn't have to go round about and climb over the walls. You could walk right up to there. If they were your sheep, you could walk right up to the door and ask for them. But they're not your sheep. Now, he didn't say it directly to them at their face by name, but he's letting them understand. Remember, the end of the chapter right before it, verse 40 says, and some of the Pharisees which were with him heard these words and said unto him, are we blind also? Well, he's going to answer that. Yeah, you are. You don't get it, do you? You're trying to go about this the wrong way. God is right there in front of you. The shepherd is there, but you're trying to do this your own way. You're not the shepherd. Letter B. Jesus is seeking to help the Pharisees to recognize what they're doing. To recognize what they're doing. Now, it may be that the Pharisees meant well. They didn't know right. They were blind. The blind leading the blind. But they thought they were doing the Jews a favor. I think they thought they were doing the Israeli people a favor. But they were blinded. They were kicking God the Messiah is showing up at their door, and they're kicking him out. Now let me say this. They were trying to get into the sheepfold the wrong way. Number one, you thought good intentions will not work. Just because you've got good intentions does not mean that what you're doing is right. Sometimes we go about the work of God. Sometimes we go about trying to find God in the wrong direction. But God knows I'm sincere. I know, but you're wrong. If you're wrong, you're wrong. It's not going to work. Cunning devices will not work. Man, they thought they had this all figured out. They were going to finagle this, going to go around here, you know, sneaking in, trying to sneak into the sheepfold, get into the family of God, if you will, get into the people of God there, but the wrong direction. Religious motives. Number three, religious motives will not work. Just because we get religious doesn't mean it's right. There's a lot of religion. In fact, very little about religion is good. What we need is faith in who God is. Number four, worldly position will not prevail. Worldly position will not prevail. These guys were big shots in town. They were big shots in town. And so they thought they could do whatever they want. They're pushing Jesus around, pushing the people around, kicking people out of the synagogue, deciding already who gets to stay in church and who doesn't. I mean, listen, crazy stuff. There's only one way. The only way you get into sheepfold is to go through the door. You don't climb up some other way. They're doing all kinds of other things. And there's so many people in our world this day, these days, that's trying to get a hold of God, get a hold of God's blessing, get a hold of God's work in their life, and they're trying to do it some other way rather than the simple way through Jesus Christ. Letter C. We do not get to choose how to work the will of God. We do not get to choose how to work the will of God. There's one way, one truth, one life. I am the way, the truth, and life. Jesus said, no man cometh unto the Father but by me. You've got to go through him. There's no other way to do it. You can try to climb up the other way. You're going to get caught. God, you're not going to be one of the sheep. You're not going to be able to do what you want to do. Acts 4:10 says this, neither is there salvation in any other, for there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. You could listen, there's all kinds of religion. There's all kinds of things. There's all kinds of stuff that goes on and works, and I'm going to turn over a leaf and turn over all the leaves and turn over the whole tree. It's not going to make any difference. You still got to go through Jesus Christ. Letter D. As tough as it sounds, listen to me, any way other than God's way is a sinful way. Any other way other than God's way is a sinful way because it transgresses the ways of God. If God says this is how we got to do it, then that's how we have to do it. You say, well, I'm a nice guy. I just happen to be crawling over the wall into the sheepfold. But I'm a really nice guy. Yeah, but you're getting in the wrong way. It doesn't work that way. If you're going to get in there, you're going to do this right. You're going to do it legit. If you're going to get any of the sheep out of here, you're going to have to go through the door where the porter's going to let you in. Letter E. True shepherds do not need to seek their own ways, but they are validated when they do things God's way. They're validated. Now, verse 1 of that chapter says, I say unto you, he that entered not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same as a thief and a robber. Verse 2, but he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name and leadeth them out. Well, that's simple. You walk up a door and say, hey, you know, on Donner, on Blitzen, on Comet, on Cupid, come on. You know, and here they all scamper out. They all know the sheep's voice, and they follow him. They don't have to climb in. He doesn't have to finagle. You know, it's amazing how people... there used to be a show they had on for a little while. I think it was just one of those filler things. It was called Stupid Criminals, or the World's Dumbest Crooks, or whatever. And the stuff that people do to try to get out, to try to get around working a normal day's labor for a normal day's wages. And you see them stuck down the chimney because they try to rob the house by going down the chimney. And the firemen have to come in and break the chimney up and pull him out. And all kinds of guys go in there. You see these pictures and surveillance cameras. And all of a sudden, you see this room, and all of a sudden he comes falling down through the tile ceiling, you know, and he's hanging there, you know, with it by his underwear, and crazy things that they do. People do the same thing. It's like I said, I can't do it the way God says to do it because that means I'm wrong and he's right. So I got to figure out another way to do this, another way to get around the things of God. No, just do it God's way. It will work a whole lot nicer. And by the way, it validates who you really are. That's it. That shepherd just walks up to the door and says, hey, Joe, I'm back. Need my sheep. All right, Tom, call him. All right. So he calls him, and off they go. Look at letter F. The porter knows which shepherds are the true shepherds. And the porter opens the door. Come on and get them. When we get to the door and do it right, the Lord knows who we are. He knows who we are. Number two, true sheep of the true shepherd know the voice of the true shepherd. True sheep of the true shepherd. Just hang tight with me. I hope I get to the end of this thing here. Verse 3 says again, to him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name and leadeth them out. Back in chapter 8, verse number 42, Jesus said this. If God were your father, he's talking to the Pharisees. And they're saying, well, we know all about this. And he said, well, if God was your father, you would love me. For I proceeded forth and came from God. Neither came I of myself, but he sent me. Why do you not understand my speech? Even because you cannot hear my word. Ye are of your father, the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. And because I tell you the truth, ye believe me not. Which of you convinceth me or convict me of sin? If I say the truth, why do you not believe me? He that is of God heareth God's words, and ye therefore hear them not, because you're not of God. In other words, he was telling them right then, you don't want to hear the truth. That's why none of this is making any sense to you. There's some, I've heard people who say, well, you know, I've read the Bible, but it's just a bunch of foolishness. It doesn't make any sense. That's because you're going through it and deciding what you think is true and what you don't think is true. You're trying to decide what's right and what's not right. This is the Word of God. It's all God's Word. Now, if you just decided God's Word's right, you'd be surprised how much sense it makes. But as soon as you start picking and chewing and taking pieces out, you don't have all the puzzle. No wonder it doesn't make any sense. Every once in a while, my dad would bring home some stuff from the auction. There'd be a puzzle box. And you know what happens when you get an old puzzle. You try to put it together, and all of a sudden, it ain't all there. And sometimes you're trying to figure out what's this and what's that and trying to make it out. You don't know because you don't have all the pieces. That's the way people read their Bible. They don't like this part, so they leave it out. They don't like that part, so they leave it out. And then they wonder why the thing doesn't come to fruition. The picture doesn't come into focus because they're not willing to take the Word of God for what it is. They're trying to finagle around and says just walking up the door and taking it for what it is. Number three. The shepherd knows our name. The shepherd knows our name. Verse 3, to him, the true shepherd, the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice. And he calleth his own sheep by name and leadeth them out. The shepherd knows our name. If you're one of the sheep of the real shepherd, he knows your name. He knows exactly what's going on in your heart. The Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Romans 8:14 says, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Now wait a minute, you know what we just said? The sheep hear his voice and he leads them out. In fact, you'll see that he leads them in and he leads them out. He brings them back and forth and back and forth. In other words, if you're led of the Spirit, you're led of the shepherd, if you will. You're his. If he's not leading you, you're not his. Unless you're fighting him. For as many are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Verse 15. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, or Daddy, Father. The Spirit itself bearing witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs. Heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. If he knows your name, he knows what's going on in your heart. If you're one of his, he knows your name. And he'll call. I think you'll catch this. Number four. Hang tight with me. The true shepherd leads his sheep. He leads his sheep. We just said he leadeth them out. Verse 4 says, and when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. A true shepherd leads his sheep. God does not want to leave you helpless and hopeless. If you're his child, he wants to lead you. Now, the fact is, he does lead you if you're his child. Now, if he's not leading you, maybe there's something we need to check out. Letter B, a true shepherd, watch this, does not drive his sheep. He doesn't drive his sheep. I think sometimes, there have been times in my life where I asked the Lord, I said, Lord, I do not want to miss this. Make sure I know what you want me to do. If you have to use a 2x4, use a 2x4, but I don't want to miss this. Now, I'll be honest with you, if I'm not sensitive to the lead of the Holy Spirit, he won't need a 2x4. In fact, he says, don't be as a mule that needs a bit and a bridle. He says, in fact, in, in, in the Old Testament, I think it's Proverbs, it says, he'll guide us with his eye. That's the way it should be. He knows your name. He can guide you with his eye. You know, that little, it's just, you just know. Why? Because you've been in the Word of God. He's teaching you. He's speaking to you. He's leading you. He's your shepherd. Now, some of you who've been married for a while, you know, you could sit across the table at the restaurant, and somebody at the next table says something, and you can look at the other person in the eye. You don't have to say a word. Just a little twinkle in the eye. Everybody knows what you just meant. You said three paragraphs. And you laugh and you go on. Or whatever it was. And you know what was going on because you know each other. So that's the way it's supposed to be with our shepherd. He knows his sheep. The sheep know his voice. He knows their name. If you're really part of his sheep, you're going to do that. Now when I say it, he doesn't drive us. Some people just kind of waiting around for God to poke us here. And yeah, I know. And I rod and thy staff, they comfort me. He will poke, but he doesn't drive. You know what happens if you try to drive sheep? They scatter. You can drive cattle. They'll all kind of line up and get in line and off they go. They don't know where they're going, but they're going. But sheep, they just scatter. What do you do with sheep? You lead sheep, and they'll fall in line. So letter C, a true shepherd knows the way and scouts out the way and goes the way first. First. And the sheep simply follow the way made by the shepherd. Now, you know what that also means? We should follow the shepherd. Don't get ahead of the shepherd. Follow the shepherd. Let him lead. If he's not going anywhere, you stay with the shepherd. A true shepherd leads his sheep. So he's not leading me. Then is he your shepherd? Are you one of his sheep? Number five, true sheep of the true shepherd follow the shepherd's voice. True sheep of the true shepherd follow the shepherd's voice. Letter A, they hear and obey the word of their shepherd. One that can follow a false shepherd apparently doesn't know the true shepherd because they're going to follow the true shepherd's voice. Now watch me. If you can follow every little thing that comes down through town, you better go back and check some things again. Listen, for with the heart man believes in the righteousness. If you're still trying to second guess who your shepherd is, then he's not your shepherd yet. Well, I like what he said over here. Well, that other guy over there, and if you're following every wind of doctrine comes down the road, I'd go back and check out who my shepherd is. Word of God, stick with it right here, right this. Well, that person over there says, no. Let's see what this thing says. Well, they got it out of the book. Compare scripture with scripture, precept upon precept. See if that shepherd is one of those that keeps climbing over the walls or whether this is one right up front, can walk right to the door and do everything legit. Let me give you number six. True sheep of the true shepherd run from strangers. True sheep of the true shepherd run from strangers. Verse 5, and a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of the strangers. Now, you can get mad at me about this, but that's one reason I stick with the KJV Bible. There's a lot of strange voices out there. They don't say the same thing. I'm not trying to be mean. I'm just telling you, they don't say the same thing. And as Curtis Hudson said in his great wit and wisdom, things that are different are not the same. That was one of the last messages he ever preached. And it's so simple and yet so profound. Things that are different are not the same. Well, they say, well, it's the same. Well, why do you have to say it's the same? If it's already the same, everybody would know it. Problem is, you have to say it's the same because it's not the same. There's some differences there. Even rat poison is 99.9% good. I'm not trying to be mean. I'm just saying you need to stay away from those things that are not the same. If it's a straight, listen, if you're following him, listen, if you're following the good shepherd, you're following the great shepherd, you're following Jesus, you're not going to let somebody talk you into the fact that he was not virgin born. Because if he wasn't virgin born, he's not Jesus. Because he's not sinless. If he's not sinless, I don't have a Savior. Well, it doesn't really matter that whether he rose again, but he died. No, it does matter that he rose again. Because if he didn't rise again, he's still dead. If he's still dead, we're still dead in our trespasses and sins. We're still lost ourselves. If he didn't rise again, why do you think we're going to be able to rise again? If he didn't come back from life, how in the world are we going to come back from life? I mean, from death. True sheep, letter B, do not listen to strange voices. True sheep do not listen to strange voices. You got to be careful. Just because they're on TV and they've got a lot of folks in the stadium listening to them does not mean that they're your shepherd. I'm just telling you, you better be careful. True sheep, number one, true sheep run from imitation voices. Oh, they're a lot like it. Very similar. If it's not the same, it's different. Number two, true sheep run from voices that are not consistent with their shepherd. Consistent with their shepherd. Listen, you've got people, I've heard it so many times here recently. We all know, and we all quote it, that no one knows the day nor the hour when Jesus Christ is going to come back. And I had somebody just the other day, I know no one knows the day nor hour when the Christ is back, but this and this and this and this and this. Now, don't you think? I feel like the blind man. I don't know whether he's a sinner, but I do know this. I was blind and now I can see. Well, I don't know the stuff you're reading there, but I do know this. No one's going to know the day nor the hour. So all this other stuff you're saying, you know what? It's neither here nor there because no one knows the day nor the hour. And God doesn't want us to know the day or the hour. Because we'll sit and twiddle our thumbs and watch TV till we know that he's going to come in the door, and then we'll try to get straightened out right before Daddy comes home. Let her see. What other shepherds are you listening to? True sheep do not listen to the world's shepherds. This word is different than everything else out there in the world. This is the word of God, not the word of man. You got to be careful what you're listening to. True shepherd, true sheep are going to listen to the shepherd. They hear the shepherd's voice. They don't listen. They don't listen to the. They don't follow. They flee from the strange voice. That's what we need to do. So, well, that's kind of mean. No, it's smart. Who's your shepherd? Now we look at sheep, as dumb as they are, and say, well, they need to stick with their shepherd because they'll get themselves in trouble. But we know what we're talking about. And so we can sort through all this, and we can pick out the good and get rid of the bad. Stick right here in this book. Letter D. We should be scared of anything that does not agree with the true shepherd. We should be scared of anything that doesn't agree with the true shepherd. This is the word of God. Sorry, it's been the word of God ever since the word of God began. It's still the word of God. Number seven, the Jewish leadership were not part of the true shepherd's flock. And thus, watch, they did not recognize his voice. Let's go back to, he was talking to the Pharisees. Verse 6 says this. This parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not. Now, what did we just learn? True sheep know the shepherd's voice. They understand what the shepherd's saying. He comes to the door of sheepfold and he calls their name. They come out running. And here these people had position and power and all this, but they didn't understand a word that Jesus was saying. Why? They weren't actually part of his flock. They didn't recognize the shepherd's voice. Now let's make a little switch here. Look at number 8. Let's go back to the sheepfold. There's a door to the sheepfold. There's a keeper of the door. Letter 8, the door determines who gets into the fold. The door determines who gets in. Letter A, there's one door. You can try to climb in over the back wall, in over the side wall, drop in from the tree around them, from the limb above, but all that is wrong. That's the thief and the robbers. If everything is on the up and up, you can walk right up to the door. Verse 7, then said Jesus unto them again, verily, verily, said unto you, I say unto you, I am the door, the portal, the entrance, the opening or the closure. I am the door of the sheep. Number 2, that Jesus is the door. He very plainly says to these religious people, I know there's a lot of things you've been going around, you've been kind of climbing over the wall, and this and that other thing. But you see, he says, if you try to circumvent me, which is what they're trying to do, they were trying to get rid of Jesus. They're trying to kill Jesus. You know what they were trying to do? Nail the door shut. They were trying to get rid of the door. But the door is what determines whether you get in or not. They're going to throw away the door, which means throw away the entrance to be a part of the sheepfold. We say, well, that's all right. We don't need the door. We'll just climb up over the back. You're not going to get away with that. We'll just go over the back wall. We'll come in another way. No, it's not going to work that way. You get thrown in jail for that. You get put in prison for that. Letter B, to attempt to gain access to the fold without going through the door is a crime. You get it? If someone shows up at that place and they say, well, I'm going to get in. No, you got to go through the door. If you got the rights to go to the door, you're going to get to go through the door. Anybody else is coming in any other way, it's wrong. It's sin. It's not going to work. You cannot get there. It's a crime. All that ever came before me, he says, are thieves and robbers. But the sheep did not hear them. It doesn't work with the true sheep anyway. You're not going to get them. Letter C. You have another C? It appears that each sheep that enters, watch, is known individually by the shepherd. Verse 9. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. If any man will. If any man enter in, he shall be saved. God knows all his sheep. But you got to go through the door. Number 9. We're going to finish this real quick. The true shepherd is looking out for the The true shepherd is looking out for the welfare of the sheep. Stick that over in there. You know those guys that's climbing up over the back? They're not looking out for the welfare of the sheep. They're looking out for the welfare of their pocketbook. They're coming to get sheep to make some money off of them babies. They're aiming to rob, to steal. The fact is, make sure you know the true shepherd. There's an awful lot of fake shepherds that are trying to take advantage of you. I had a guy come in and one day, and he said, I've been coming 3 or 4 weeks, he says, preacher. And he said, you know one thing I've noticed? You mentioned you're going to pass the plate for the offering. That's all you ever mentioned about money. I said, yeah. That's not the way it was where I grew up. He said, you go there, it's like all the church was about was raising money for this project and raising money for that project and raising money for this project. That's not what church is all about. That's somebody who's looking to get, that's someone's climbing up over the back wall trying to get something out of the sheep. The shepherd is looking out for the welfare of the sheep. Not the sheep looking out for the welfare of the shepherd. There, letter A, there's a protection and a provision in being part of the fold and being led by the shepherd. Now watch. It says, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. Watch. And shall go in and out and find pasture. Now watch me. He keeps them in there. Then where he takes them out, he calls their name. They go out. He leads them beside the still waters in the green pastures. Like Psalm 23. And then he brings them back. And they're in their safe keeping. Then he comes back and he takes care of them. And they do this day after day after day. He's there to provide for them, to take care for them. He said, well, we gotta be in these, we gotta be kind of tied up in the sheepfold here. Yeah, number two. The freedom, there is freedom in the confines of the sheepfold. There's freedom in the confines of the sheepfold. In other words, there's safety. God's taking the shepherd is taking good care of you. He's not gonna let anybody have you, nobody steal you. Going to protect and provide. Letter B, those that are trying to sneak in are not the shepherd, and they are there to steal the life of the sheep. Verse 10, the thief cometh not but to steal and to kill and destroy. Letter C, the true shepherd is seeking the best for his sheep. Jesus said, listen, the thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and destroy. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. Now, the fact is, you need to know the shepherd's voice. Now, hang tight with me. Let me ask a few questions and we're done. Do you hear the shepherd's voice? When you read the Word of God, do you hear the shepherd's voice? I'm not saying you're actually audibly hearing. I'm saying, though, does he speak to your heart? Does he guide you in your thoughts? If you are truly part of the flock and you're not hearing the shepherd's voice, maybe the shepherd is not speaking right now. Maybe. Maybe. But listen, don't listen for a voice somewhere beyond the shepherd's voice. Don't get ahead of them. Some folks want to hear the shepherd's voice so badly that they want to hear it now, that they will listen to most any voice that sounds close to the shepherd. And sometimes they'll hear things that aren't even there. Religion tries to take control of the sheep. And they assume they can circumvent the door and get to the sheep another way. The Pharisees are trying to take control of the sheep without going through the right channels, the door. But Jesus is the porter at the door, and no one can get by him. There's no other name given under heaven whereby you must be saved. The way, the truth, and life. If you're not hearing the true shepherd's voice, you do not, it could be that you are not, you don't belong to the true shepherd. Those that are willing to follow another voice are not part of the true shepherd's flock. If you're willing to follow another voice, then you're following a strange voice. If you're truly part of the true shepherd's flock, you will know your shepherd's voice when you hear him. Listen. It is not usually so much that we cannot discern the shepherd's voice as it is that we don't like what the shepherd is saying to us. And we want to think it can't really be his voice telling us to do that. There must be, I don't understand. It must be something else. And the Pharisees are calling to the sheep, but the sheep do not recognize their voices. If you don't know if the shepherd's voice you're hearing, maybe you need to know the shepherd a little better. Or, it's not the shepherd because the shepherd can make sure you know him. I think sometimes the Lord makes sure I understand that. I'm not moving until you make it clear what you want me to know. God knows that. You've heard me say this before. I wasn't up here very long when I realized God knows I'm stupid. God knows what I don't know. And he knows that I don't know it. If I come to him and ask him to tell me, and I'm in his book and I keep my nose in the book, if he doesn't tell me, it's his fault. And it sounds funny, but it's his fault. So I'm going to wait around until he tells me. Well, you never did anything. He never told me. I was listening. But I'll tell you what, you listen long enough, he'll tell you what you need to do. Now, don't just sit there and don't read your Bible and listen to some crazy thing on TV and ask him to zap you with all this stuff. Get your nose in the book. Get to church. Hear the Word of God. Do what you know for sure he wants you to do, even if it has nothing to do with what you're looking for. Obey what you know, and you'll be surprised the light that he'll give you for the next step. We've got to stop. Do you know the shepherd's voice? Father, thank you for your blessings. Thank you for speaking to us here this evening. Lord, may we know the shepherd's voice. May we know the shepherd's voice. Speak to us, Lord. We ask in Christ's name. Amen.